Okay, great. All right. Well, step 10, I'll first give my understanding of what the big book says and then my experience with step 10. So the context is that in step 4, we made a fearless and moral inventory, and that word moral means thinking, our incorrect thinking, not our incorrect actions. The actions are based on our thinking, but it's the thinking we're trying to get at in the fourth step. I do a positive inventory, and that is facts on which my thinking is gonna, facts of my thinking that may very well need to be corrected, or at least in the process of doing it, correct my thinking. The inventory is information only. And with that information, I realize how much harm I've done to myself by cutting off myself from the sunlight of the spirit. So basically, step 4 was a fact-finding, fact-facing process. Step 5 is a fact-admitting process, where we admit the exact nature of our wrongs to someone else, to God, and to ourselves. Step 6 and 7 are fact-using steps. We use the facts that came out of the four-step inventory, and we use them to ask the higher power to correct our thinking. And in relationship to our will, well, 6 and 7 is our will, which is the word that's used in the third step, decision, our will being all of our instincts and our desires and the thoughts that motivate those. And then step 8 and 9, fact using again, in this case, the life part of the third step decision, which is to say all the decisions and actions that we have taken based on those decisions, those thoughts, and in particular the ones where there have been harms, and now we want to rectify those in 8 and 9. Well, step 10, it's a fact-using process once again, but it's a fact. The facts come from today. They don't come from our entire life. Step 4 through 9 is our facts from our entire life, and they get all dealt with them in step 4 through 9. Now, we're going to do all of that, all of those things, in the same old process, inventory, and then like 6 and 7, and then like 8 and 9, but only on today. All the facts come from today. So step 10 is, and I need to emphasize this, it's a throughout the day step. A lot of people seem to think that you do step 10 at nighttime. You look back over the day, and then you do step 10. And that's not correct. You do the step all through the day. There is a nighttime inventory, but that's step 11. That is done in step 11. Okay, so step 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So the big book process on this is on page 84 and 85. And the process talks about watching first. And you don't watch at nighttime only. You watch all day long. So it's an all-day-long step. Then it's an inventory, and an inventory of selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those are basically the same things as we looked for in step 4. But those now are just today, just where those things are going to happen today. Now, when they crop up, it doesn't say if they're going to crop up. It says when they crop up, because they will crop up. We have lots of old habits of our lives, and step 4 got them for our whole life, but just because we got them and just because we dealt with them doesn't mean that they won't necessarily come up again. And in some cases, they don't come up again, but in my experience...
15 minutes, Carl?
Thanks. In my experience, they do come up, and I need to deal with them daily as well. But anyway, when they crop up, there are four things that we do. We ask God at once to remove them. And that's very much like six and seven, step six and seven. That's the first thing. And this is all, once again, on page 84 and 85. Second, we discuss them with someone immediately. Now, I don't do that immediately. Not the immediately part. I don't always do that. Lots of times, for me, it's a matter of just quick little resentments that just honor their thoughts, basically, or judgments and things like that, fears. And I don't necessarily talk to somebody. But if I have good-sized ones, and it's not uncommon that I'll have a good-sized resentment, or maybe an old resentment, which presents itself again. And if this happens for a while, I will talk to somebody about it. So usually my sponsor, but sometimes it may be someone else. A lot of times a plain OA 90 phone call would be a great opportunity to do that. And I have other people who do a step 10 with me every once in a while. So anyway, that's the second thing. Third step is we make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. In other words, we do it right away. We do it when it happens. So, and the last one is that, and this is very important, we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So why bother doing this inventory? Well, here it is. Because we want to resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. That's why we do all the steps. We want to be helpful to other people, and we want to serve God and others. So this, of course, is a positive action, and it's where we're asking God to improve on the positive characteristics we have. But anyway, I'll just mention that there is what I call a half full gratitude that I do, and I don't do it anywhere near as much as I ought to, but I do it when I get something that the 10th step applies with. And that half full gratitude is where I try to be clear on the good relationship that I have with somebody. Maybe it wasn't going so well when I was harming that person or acting out on one of my defects with that person, but nevertheless, it's a good relationship, and it occurred in a good environment. Maybe it occurred in my house with my wife, or maybe it occurred at work with one of my coworkers or something like that. So it was in a good environment, and it's in a relationship that is a good one. So those are something that I find helpful. That half full gratitude. Basic comments about this. And once again, these are things out of the big book. When we do step 10, and when we get to step 10, what has happened? Very profound comment. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Wow, that's where we wanted to go from the very beginning. That's where we wanted to go. And now finally it happens at step 10. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Now, we've only entered it, but we've entered it. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing to happen. I'm quoting, of course, from the big book. And what now? What now that we've entered the world of the Spirit? Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Now, what does that mean? It means we understand better who we are, and we understand better what our defects are, what our harms are, what our positive characteristics are, and what's the effectiveness? Well, the effectiveness is that we love other people. As it says a little earlier, we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And how long do we do this? Well, guess what? The big book says this is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. In other words, this is a growth step. It's not. It's oftentimes called a maintenance step. It's not. It's a growth step. We grow. It continues over our entire lifetime. And then how do we do this? Well, love and tolerance of others is our code. Those are all quotes from the Big Book. It's amazing.
10 minutes, Carl.
Thank you. It's so astounding how the Big Book says so much in such a short amount of time, or a short amount of space. This step is probably less than a page. It spreads over 84 and 85, but it's probably less than a page total. At any rate, couple of additional comments. One is that we don't have to wait until all our amends are done before we start step 10. We can really start this, when we've made a dent in our amends, but there's no reason for waiting. And in fact, as probably some of you know, I've in the process of our doing the steps together, I've oftentimes suggested to somebody, you're having a problem with your boss, or, you've gotten a little scuffle with your partner or whatever. Well, pray about it. That's a shortcut way that I suggest somebody to do step 10. And sometimes we'll go through a formal step 10, even when somebody is on the second or third step or fourth or fifth, whatever. So you don't really have to wait to use this step, because stuff's going to happen on a given day. Well, anyway, here's my experience around this step, second part of the talk. I'd like to read from perhaps my favorite spiritual writer, and this is one of the very few times I'll go outside of the Big Book, but I want to quote what this man has to say. He says, when he failed in his duty, which is to say he got into a resentment or a harm or something like that, when he had failed in his duty, he only confessed his fault. In other words, he took an inventory, and then he asked God to remove it, saying to God, I shall never do otherwise if you leave me to myself. It is you who must stop my falling and mend what is amiss. And then he says something I think is very wonderful. He says, after this, he gave himself no further uneasiness about it. So when we ask God for help with a defect or apologize to somebody because we've harmed them, we don't need to be uneasy after it. You know, shame and guilt may come, but that's actually a defect in itself. There's nothing wrong with us. We're just human. We make mistakes. So I love that little statement by my good friend. His name is Brother Lawrence. He wrote in the 1600s. Anyway, by doing this, I love and I honor my higher power, as I've said before. I think I said that in step 6 and 7, maybe even in 8 and 9. But I honor my higher power because my higher power has all this power and love, and I acknowledge that when I ask for help. And then I love my higher power by being vulnerable to my higher power. I say this stuff to my higher power. And a lot of times it's not easy to admit my faults to my higher power any more than anybody else. So anyway, as you know, I never did step 5 very well until I had done it 4 times, and so I didn't do this step either. And also, I was spiritually bankrupt when I came in this program. I hated other people. I hated myself. I hated God. And so I had a lot of amends and a lot of defects to be dealt with in 6, 7, and 8, and 9. And I developed habits which bring me into 10, and so I tend to do these things. It's not uncommon that I do these things in a given day. But the key thing I want to mention, and I'll mention these more in my experience, and that is that these things get better. You know, the more I practice, which it talks about in step 12, the more I practice this step, the better I get. The more I chip away at these bad habits of mine, and the defects don't come up so often, or maybe I recognize them sooner and I'm able to turn away from them more quickly, or maybe my amends, maybe I cut off an amend at the pass, or maybe if I hit a need for an amend, I'm more prompt than I used to be, that sort of thing. Well, for me, it mentions that we look for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Dishonesty is perhaps my biggest one of those four. And I'll just mention, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, I made a list of my dishonesty. My typical
5 minutes, Carl?
Yeah, thank you. My typical dishonesty. And so I could kind of have it in my consciousness. And I'll just mention a few of these things. These are the things that I watch for once again. And when I watch for them, I become much more sensitive to them. And I'm able to be aware of them quicker. But anyway, one is that basically my name is the Beloved. I'm a beloved child of my God, my higher power. And I tend to forget that. And it's dishonest. If I don't say to myself, Carl, you're the Beloved, then I'm being dishonest. I'm getting into my shame and guilt. Another thing is that I say to myself, I'm human. And when I'm dishonest, I say, oh, no, I'm not human. I should be perfect. So that's dishonest when I get into perfectionism. Another thing that's dishonest is I think if other people will only change, then that'll help me. Well, that's a lie. It won't help me because I'm the one who's stuck with my resentment or fear, and I need to deal with my stuff. To heck with their stuff. I mean, if they change, so much the better. But their change is not going to help me, and it's a lie if I think it will. Another that I need to remind myself of, which is, can be a lie, is that I think what other people do is my fault. Well, very frequently it's not my fault. Step 4, the angry man's prayer, says other people are sick too. I need to remind myself that other people have a higher power, and I'll be dishonest if I don't realize that. And their higher power is just as good as my concept of a higher power. And so I can let their higher power deal with them. And it's dishonest if I think I have to deal with them. Well, anyway, there's a few others on my list, but I won't try to take time on that. But that dishonesty list of mine, I made like 3, 4, 5 years ago. And I'm nowhere near as dishonest with that stuff as I used to be, which is a real testimony to how I've grown by using this stuff day in and day out. So anyway, I've seen a lot of growth. And another area that came up in a 4-step of mine just within the past year was self-seeking, in the sense of feeling I could be validated by other people or defying by other people. And that one, boy, that one came up with a force that I'd never seen before. And I've seen it all over the map in my 10th step. So once again, I use the 10th step on that all the time, and it's getting better. It's getting better. We progress with this. And then when I had my heart attack in early July, I made a renewed devotion, shall we say, that's the wrong word, but to doing the 6th step, which is to say, basically, God, when these defects come up, I don't want to be there. When these harms come up, I don't want to be there. I really don't want to be there, God. And I'm making a much stronger effort since then to ask God for help immediately, just like what it says in the 10th step. Ask God to remove these defects at once. And I remind myself that, look, God, I want serenity. I don't want this dumb defect, or I want serenity. I don't want to do this kind of harm. Well, anyway, what do I want to say? Well, now I'm going to talk about the promises of this step. These are the ways in which I change. These promises are ways in which I change. And every time I change, and the steps all change me, I get closer and closer to that personality change sufficient for recovery, which is the 12-step promise. That's the spiritual awakening. So here's another bunch of changes in step 10. And this first change is absolutely extraordinary, because to me, this change, which comes from step 10, means I'm not binging anymore. I'm not binging anymore. Listen to what it says. We have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, which is to say we've ceased fighting anyone and any anything and anyone.
1 minute.
Thanks, even food. For by this time, sanity will return. Well, if I'm not fighting food, then I'm not going to be binging. Imagine that. So at this step, that happens. The spiritual awakening is not complete yet, but it is so complete that I'm not binging anymore. It won't be fully complete until I'm practicing step 11. But anyway, the next promise, we'll seldom be interested in liquor, another food-related thing. We'll seldom be interested in food. If tempted, however, we recoil as from a hot flame. And I still have a lot of food thoughts. I probably think about food at least 3 or 4 times a day, and I've been abstinent 3 years, so that's probably a good 1,500 food thoughts. But when I get a food thought, I think to myself, I recoil from it as from a hot flame, and I don't go there anymore. I'm abstinent. So then we react sanely and normally, and we'll find that this has happened automatically. The fourth promise, we will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given, or toward food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. It does. We practice this, and our new attitude toward food just comes. That's the miracle of it. We're neither fighting it, nor are we avoiding temptation. Then the fifth promise, we feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Oh boy, I love that, safe and protected. I think of that when I think of going into my mother's womb. I'm safe and protected. And then the last promise, we've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. The obsession has been removed. You know, the obsession that we identified so clearly in step 1. Now it's been removed. It's not a problem anymore. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. And then finally, it concludes, this is not a promise, but it says, that is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And to me, the fit spiritual condition is just that I practice the steps. That's what. So that's what I have, and that's step 10 as I understand it. So thanks so much for listening.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks so much. Now it's time for open